Today we're going to speak about some Pesach-related questions having to do with packaging. Two of them more seriously, Pesach on one just a little bit. And the first one is about netting and twine. That is to say, is that when you want to make a roast or hold meat together, the strings that hold, that are, you know, wrapped around the meat, the twine that's wrapped around it, if there's a potential issue for that for Pesach. And that is... a lot of what I'm going to say about these, about this, about the twines, this netting comes from Rabbi Yaakov Lach, who's the well-known author of Chum Illuminated, but is also involved with a family business making twine. And he says that in the United States, there's only one manufacturer who actually makes twine from the cotton itself, using the actual the cotton. And there's different ways to make the twine, but in one of them, includes sprinkling flour. The person used to do is sprinkle flour onto the twine. Excuse me. Sprinkling flour onto the twine in order to help in the process and help it dry it out. And that you could imagine sprinkling flour onto twine is a very messy process. And what would happen was that even the twine that did not have flour on it would invariably get a certain amount of flour would end up onto it. Just as so much flour floating around the plant, a certain amount of it would get onto the twine. Even the one that was not meant to be coated, they're not meant to have this flour onto it. So Rewachshul from New Square spoke to these people and eventually got them to switch from using flour to using something else, ground marble, powder. And the question is, no one's too sure whether in other countries there is this potential issue that they would use a flour in this way around the twine. Now, this twine is sold for, in our case, for meat, it's sold for the nettings, but it's also used, like, think about in a bakery, if you want to wrap up a box with string, that's also used for that. You want to wrap a box of matzah, also could use the same kind of string to wrap it up, potentially. The Hashgacha has reason to be careful to make sure that the twine is not made in this place, in these kind of factories, or made with the actual flour itself. Now, if we think about it, the possibility of that twine making the food treif or chametz stick is really very minimal. And that's because even if it was made in a factory that had the flour in it, the amount of flour on any piece of twine is obviously minimal. And the amount of flour that's left on the twine will decrease every time the twine is used, which is to say, is once the twine is manufactured, it's put onto a roll. It's taken off the roll and made into a net. The net is moved from here to there. Each time you do that, you're knocking off that much more of the flour. And the only possibility that there could be of flour actually getting into food would be to say, is there's going to be a mashu of flour left onto it, mashu relative to the amount of meat that you're going to be making. There's going to be a mashu left on the thing, and it would get into the food. And the thing is, of course, that chametz that gets into food before Pesach is bought to b'shushim like all the year round. And therefore, the only possible problem that could be is what would happen if you cook the piece of meat on Pesach itself, in which case, on Pesach, chametz also be mashu, even the tiniest amount of chametz makes the food also be the oven. So then we'd have a potential issue, is that the chametz would be also be mashu if there's a little bit of flour left on the netting that would get into the person's food when they cooked it. Now, even in that case, even were that to happen, that the person cooked it on Pesach, there's reasons to think that the food is going to be mutter anyhow. And one is... there's good reason to think that the flour is already in the taruvis from before Pesach. It's true the food wasn't cooked until Pesach, but the flour was mixed into the... It can't be separated from the twine itself, and it can't be separated from the meat. You know, it's sitting wrapped around the roast. So where is it? You can't see it. It's already it's good reason to think that it's already the taruvis. If the taruvis happened before Pesach, regardless of when the cooking happened, if the taruvis happened before Pesach, then we do not say chozer v'nir in this kind of a case, and the food will remain mutter even if you do the cooking on Pesach. Second is, it's a suffix whether there's any flour on this twine. As I said, how much twine flour is there altogether brought through it, and got wound and unwound and all, who knows what. We don't even know if this factory uses flour. There's lots of reasons to be misopit. And then as a rule, we say, since the Issamashu is only Drabanan, Safik Issamashu is not also even on Pesach. So it's another reason to think that if the food was made, if the twine had been used, regardless, the food would be able to be the Eved. And also, although these are all good reasons why the food is mutter, of a pikein, if Hashgacha is certifying that the food is kosher Pesach, then it's proper that they should be paying attention that the twine is in fact doesn't have this issue of flour on it. It wasn't made with flour or even in a factory that has the flour on it. Now, sort of a side issue that's not a Pesach issue is that, not necessarily a Pesach issue, it's from Rabbi Rubin from the OK, who said that some companies will coatings onto the twines, onto the netting to make, like, for example, if they want to be able to come off easily, to come, you know, separate from the meat to release easily, they'll put something up like that. So those are just something to pay attention to when picking the strings or the nettings to be used in these kind of things. Okay. Our second thing we want to talk about is ink. That is to say is that government, and for that matter, shechtim, or mashgichim, will mark meat with edible ink stamps. That is to say, when the USDA approves an animal, they may stamp it. When the Mashgiach approves that this is a kosher animal, he might stamp it. So there's ink stamped onto the side of the carcass as part of its processing. And in order for the safety of it, USDA regulates which kind of inks are allowed to be used. These are meat, again, this is going on to meat that we're going to eat. And there's three groups of ingredients that are allowed to be into there, and each one of them is regulated. And there's a coloring agent, and that's what gives the color. There's a diluent, like water or isopropyl alcohol or ethyl alcohol. And then certain other ingredients that qualify as gray, as generally regarded as safe. Again, that's a whole list of specific ones that are allowed to be put into there. And there's all kinds of rules. There's a rules of what's allowed to be in these inks that go onto the meat. Now, when you look at the list of all those things that are allowed to be into there, there are some that are potentially chametz, which the three that catch my attention were dextrose, ethyl alcohol, and glycerin. And glycerin couldn't be chametz, but it could well be kidneys. And the other two, dextrose and ethyl alcohol, in the United States, as a rule, are going to be kidneys. It's possible it could be chametz. Even if ethyl alcohol would be chametz, it's presumably it's denatured ethyl alcohol. And it evaporates off anyhow. So chances are of all this is that very minimal that there's a chametz concern. Maybe it mostly be kidneys. The kidneys, a portion of it is likely, the kidneys is able to be built up a roif. It's likely built up a roif in itself. If not, surely in the meat it's built up a roif. So I mean, I think it's probably fine. There isn't anybody who makes one that's actually kosher l'Pesach, as far as I know. Rav Tversky would told of sea fish meat, that it's better that a person should cut it off before Pesach. You get the piece of meat that has it on it, or you're the butcher, has the meat on it, he should cut off this ink mark. If he didn't, the food is going to be mutter anyhow. But as a person for doing the right thing for Pesach, should remove that, cut off that ink mark on the side of the meat that's on there. Okay, now our last topic for today is not really so much of a Pesach issue, but it has a little Pesach angle to it, but it's related to these other ones, and that is about casings. Okay, when you make a sausage that's like a salami or a hot dogs, what you're doing is you're making a mixture of meat and spices and other ingredients that you want to belong in there, and you're filling them into a casing, into this tube, like a tube, some kind of a tube, that holds it in place. Then you cook or you smoke this sausage in this casing, and that way when the meat solidifies into the shape and the texture that you want it to have, and now your food is ready. Okay, so it holds it in place, it keeps it in place while you're cooking or you're smoking the sausage. So traditionally, way back when, casings were made out of intestines, animal intestines. And they would be cleaned out really well, of course. They'd be cleaned out. They are edible, and they are coming from an animal. So these kind of casings, these natural casings, had to come from animals that had shechita, and they had bedika, that they were in treifas, of course. And the assumption is that they need to have malicha also. There's a shaila in hilchas malicha. The truth is that intestines themselves, min hadin, do not have dam in them, and they don't need to be kasher. But if there's other things on it, like fats on the outside of it, that does need to be kashered. So the Rambam says the meaning is we always do kasher it. We only kasher it from the outside, because we know that on the inside there's no dam, because it's just the intestines themselves. But the meaning is they have to be kashered. But because they seem, minatim do not have dam in them, they can't be kashered with everything else. They can't do the melicha with other pieces of meat. So of course, so if you're making those kind of casings that are natural kishkas, then they need to come from kosher animals, and they need to have malicha. I don't even know if it's legal anymore to make them. But that was the way it was done traditionally. Okay, but nowadays, most casings, most ones for kosher, casings for kosher sausages don't come from kishkas. They don't come from animal intestines. Rather, they're made one of two ways. The natural ones tend to be edible. They're made from collagen, which comes from animal hides. That collagen from animal hides is mixed with glycerin, cellulose, and some other ingredients to make these casings. They tend to be edible. And again, if we're talking about hide, if we're using collagen from animals, then the animals need to have shechita and bedika, and they need malicha as well. And of course, they're being made from animal product, plus the other sensitive ingredients like glycerin. So of course, they need to be done with hashgacha tmidis in order to be sure to keep track that we're actually using kosher hides and that everything else was done to the malicha and the bedik, etc. For Pesach, as I mentioned, has glycerin in it, and maybe some other minor ingredients that someone just has to keep an eye on to make sure that those are actually kosher Pesach before we make a casing that's going to be used for Pesach sausages. Now, the other kind of casings that are used commonly are artificial casings. They're inedible. They're made from cellulose, plastic. There's different ways of making them, cellulose or plastic. The casing itself doesn't have a kashrus or a Pesach concern to it, but sometimes the casings have additives put onto the surface, on the inner surface, like a smoke flavor or a chemical to stop it from sticking to the sausage itself or some other additives like that. In which case, you'd want to watch those just to make sure that those coatings or sprays or whatever that are put onto the inside are kosher for year-round, and they're also kosher for Pesach.